All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I am here, I'm joined by a very special guest who we do weekends with Swipa every single week. It is my guy, Swipa, on the other side. Swipa, how you doing on this fine Sunday?
I'm good. It's going to be a really interesting next couple of days as the NBA is shaped out for the most part. But then we got these play-in games, exactly what the NBA was looking for. They got the Lakers in the play-in game. They're going to get Steph Curry in the play-in game, and they're going to have the opportunity to both make the playoffs, which I know the NBA would love to see Cali get his biggest teams and two biggest markets in there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The Eastern Conference, not so much, but the West is going to be a bloodbath from round one to three.
It's going to be interesting. I was happy watching this final day of hoops because everything was like, it felt like everything meant something today. It felt like there were a lot of games that were going on, and some games ended up being blowouts, some games being close, some games being surprising. And we had some shenanigans with the playoff picture and the seeds, especially at the top of the Western Conference. So going to be able to go over all of it, had a lot of fun. And I'm very curious to see sort of how this sort of ends up, but I'm looking forward to talking about the playoffs with you. I'm looking forward to talking about the playoff picture with you and just where Denver is at with it. But first, I think we got to go over this game. I think we got to go over game 82 of the Denver Nuggets season. They play the Memphis Grizzlies, win that game, ultimately clinch the number two seed with 57 wins in the Western Conference. Swipa, Grizzlies had 13 guys out today. I thought that the Nuggets were going to sit their guys. They didn't ultimately do so. Everybody played for the Nuggets, and Denver ultimately ended up getting a win.
Yeah, I think sometimes we can overstate the players and where they are with their health and like rest and all that stuff. I think sometimes like it looks like they're battered and bruised, and obviously they are, but I think the Nuggets, man, they just have been feeling really good. They feel really confident right now. They've been playing really well. Everybody's kind of locked in what they're supposed to be doing. Aaron Gordon, you know, he took two games off because he fell on his face twice in his back. So I think a lot of that is what that is. But look, man, they just look like machines right now. The starters obviously were dominant today. They were dominant all season. We're going to talk about a lot of the season stuff in a minute because I think it's important to reflect on some of the things that happened this year. But, you know, this is a part of today, but it's also just a part of kind of what's been happening. I don't know if people know this, but Jamal Murray came back five games ago. Jamal's only averaging 25.7 minutes played since he came back versus the Hawks, but he's averaging 24 points in 25 minutes. And he's averaging 24, five assists and four rebounds. Jamal is shooting 47% from three on 7.6 attempts a game and 55% from the field. And then he's also shooting just 83% from the line. That's because he missed two free throws the other day. He doesn't have a high free throw rate. He's a plus 66 in those games, and he has a 67-point true shooting since coming back from, you know, injury or just being nicked up and missing those seven games. That to me is probably the scariest thing. I think if you're an opposing team, is that Jamal Murray is playing better than he has at any point this year, and his shooting has been out the wazoo, where he's basically been hitting half of his three pointers, and he's just at that mode where his step backs are there, the dribbling is there, the two man game is there, the defense has not been bad. I think, you know, he's kind of, every time the Nuggets start ascending towards like championship gear, it's a large part because of Jamal and what he adds to this team. So again, just I think something really dynamic kind of happening, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what Jamal is built for in this moment, and didn't play a ton today, obviously, but still kind of tied for the team lead in plus minus with Michael Porter Jr. Denver's starting lineup basically all across the board was dynamic. Not necessarily their best individual performances, but I thought as a team just played really good basketball. It wasn't really about anybody. It wasn't about Jamal. It wasn't about Joker. It wasn't about Mike. It wasn't about AG or KCP. It was about the team finally, like, kind of getting the monkey off of their back from San Antonio, because
right,
it was a bad loss. Like, San Antonio, yeah, was terrible. It was a horrible, no good, very bad loss, and the Nuggets should have felt bad about it. And they kind of lucked out, like, with the seeding, and we'll talk about luck. That, obviously, with the in the second segment. But
Ryan uses words like luck in basketball. I don't use those words when you have all those people on the court playing basketball. But shout out to Wimby. Wimby got mad, and then in the third quarter, scored 17 points, I think 14 straight or something like that. It was a preview of things to come for years to come.
Like, we've faced, or not we, the Nuggets have faced Victor Wembanyama over the course of the last 3 weeks, I think three times. And he's impressive every single time in every single way. Just unbelievable to watch. And that dude's going to be a problem for a long time. Fortunately, Denver doesn't have to worry about guarding him in the playoffs this time around and trying to score on him in the playoffs this time around. But that will happen. That'll change in the future. But Denver, they needed a win. They got it done. The starters played pretty well. As you mentioned, Jamal was playing pretty great. I thought that Nikola Jokic, he could have scored if he wanted to, decided that he didn't. And like, this was more about get the rebounds, play the passing lanes, do a good job contesting shots at the rim, and then let everybody else kind of go to work. And that's exactly what he did tonight. 15 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals.
7-11 from 2.
Was very good, very dynamic at this
point. 4 steals, plus 19, 31 minutes. Yeah. Crazy.
Last game
of the regular season on the third MVP season, man. We're going to talk about that too in a little bit, but
yeah.
And an AG with a 15-5-5 game, and Jamal with 21-6-4, man. So, and then Porter too. Porter had some big shots in that game too.
Yeah, I'm still residually mad at Porter for the Spurs game because he was so bad. But look, 81 games played. Are
you
upset
that he jumped on Mamu? Did you see Mamu do the Michael Jordan leg split in the air, left-handed finish? No.
Yeah, still residually mad. What if they signed him next year? I knew that Mamu was a Nuggets killer. I don't know if anybody else really fully knew it, but I knew it. I've been on that shit. but it is funny just to see how this kind of plays out and to see what Denver's sort of going through here. Now they've got this win. They take care of business. Let's actually talk about the bench, because if there is still a residual worry I have with Denver, it is obviously the bench unit. It's not the starters. The starters are the best, like, it's the best group in the NBA, the best five-man group in the NBA. But with the bench, Denver's going to come into a time in the playoffs where they're going to need some of these guys, and they're going to need Justin Holiday to play more than 8 minutes a night, or eight minutes on a random game. They're going to need Reggie Jackson to hit some shots. They're going to need Zeke Nagy, like, to play some minutes at some point. Or they'll just say, no, we're going to go to DeAndre Jordan. And I think that the last couple games, it's felt more and more to me like, yeah, DeAndre's probably the guy for that particular spot, which is, that's sad. Like, that's, we're not in a good place with seeing where the bench is actually going to help Denver. But Christian Brown, Peyton Watson are the two that I feel like those guys have figured some stuff out, particularly Christian Brown. He looked great today.
Yeah. DJ's not playing in the playoffs versus the Timberwolves. Just want to make that very clear. I think Zeke will get minutes if they don't do the AG minutes and get some foul trouble or something like that. DJ might play good for 30 seconds here and there for sure, but hopefully DJ, because he had a good stint versus the Wolves with Jamal Murray last year. Caught that oop from Jamal when he was standing right at her basket. Okay.
He played in game five, by the way. DJ played in game five of the Miami Heat series, like the freaking NBA finals. Like, he can play for brief periods.
So if you look at Bruce Brown's number, what if I told you Bruce Brown in the last 27 games of the playoff or the regular season last year, he averaged 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists, and he shot 50-42, didn't shoot well from the free throw line, 59%, but 50% from the field, 42% from three. What if I told you that's what he did the last 27 games of the year last year?
I think that would be pretty wild. That would not necessarily be great. It wouldn't feel good going into a playoff series.
Okay. Well, sorry, I read you Christian Brown's numbers. He's averaging 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. But guess what? Christian Brown, I think what gives me confidence with him, he has absolutely turned his season around as a shooter. He was not hitting any of those splits prior to the last 40 games or so, but he's shooting 42% from three on limited minutes, but he's taking 2 attempts a game off the bench and 50% from the field, including converting at the rim, which he was not doing early in the year. So Christian Brown has actually changed my whole perspective on his season. Really, last 27 games. The volume is not there for him because he doesn't shoot the ball like an incredible amount. But even today, you've seen in the last several games now that when Christian has to like turn it into that other gear, he's been a different player. You know, he doesn't, again, have the volume to stick there, but his three-pointer has kind of consistently gone up as the volume has gone up. And I think that him and Peyton obviously are going to have a tough role to fill. You know, Reggie Jackson hit some shots today. Not expecting a lot from Reggie. Justin Holiday, I think, you know, he's going to get some good time. I think he can be a good defender, a good shot maker. But at the end of the day, they're just a different team than last year. They're not going to have that certified sixth starter in the same way. But I would say right. Peyton has gotten, or Christian has gotten me to the point now, and Peyton, you know, in some ways, where if they had to play another player to fit in for MPJ in foul trouble, or they had to slide down MPJ to get AG in there for whatever reason, I think Peyton and Christian have given me enough this year and given the Nuggets enough where you can feel confident. They'll know what they're supposed to do, you know. And then when they go to the Christian Brown lineup, you know, it offers a different level of shooting too. Like, that's also been one of the fun wrinkles I've seen over the last couple of weeks. When they have to put Christian Brown into three and play MPJ at the four, their offense is just a little different because now there's nobody to sag off of in the same degree. But I'm very hopeful for what they're both going to offer in a playoff setting. And honestly, bro, if I look at the biggest matchups the Nuggets have played this year, whether it's versus the Wolves or the two Boston games or even the Lakers game, Peyton Watson's been good in most of those games. And I mean sure. good as in like played good enough offensively and also been great defensively that he's been able to contribute in some meaningful ways. So I'm really excited to see kind of how they mold and how the Nuggets mold around them and how they just kind of fit their games into the play style. Because even if they play the Pelicans or Lakers in the first round, they're going to have very similar questions about their role men. But the problem is their role men are going to be D'Lo and they're going to be Dinwiddie as opposed to the Nuggets. You know, those are going to be their sixth and seventh options they're having to deal with in the playoff setting, or eighth, depending on how you feel about Peyton. But it should be good. You know, I like where Christian has gone as of late.
Certainly has. Today, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, couple steals.
Yeah.
You're hoping for bursts like that. You're hoping for a guy that can sort of change the flow of a game. And Christian, I think, has been more explosive over the course of the post-All-Star break session of the season. I just break down the splits for him pre-All-Star break, post-All-Star break. This was before like today. So like the points, like yeah. you read off 8 points, four rebounds, two assists, right. whatever. He was at 54% true shooting before today. My mistake. 53% true shooting pre-All-Star break, 59% true shooting post-All-Star mm-hmm. break. The usage has actually gone down. Mm-hmm. He's shooting 43% from three, like, mm-hmm. and then that's a good number. That is a good number. That is a respectable number, and that's a number that it's going to be tested in the playoffs. You can't right. expect him to shoot 40% in the playoffs, I don't think. But as long as he shoots above 35, I think that's respectable enough. The teams, like, they'll dare him, but they're going to get burned more often than not in these half court situations.
Yeah, Bruce Brown in the playoffs last year. Again, similar. He only averaged 12 points a game in the playoffs, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So his numbers are actually comparable. Bruce just averaged 30. He shot 31.6% from three. Yeah. But then the thing that made Bruce different, though, he shot 51% from the field on 9 attempts a game. So he probably shot like, you know, 57, 58% from two, which is, yeah. you know, where you would want him to be. But he shot 85.7% from the line. That's where the changes were. And it was like when he was driving, he was finishing at a high level, including the closeout free throws in game five in the NBA Finals. So I think Christian, man, if he's rebounding well, that's always a good sign for me. If he's rebounding well like he did today, he's playing strong, he's playing aggressive, and he's running. When he runs on the outside, I don't mean to liken him to another, you know, white receiver in the league, but he looks like Jordy Nelson out there. You know, he just looks like a guy that's like able to find his lane, fill the gaps. And then when he gets to the rim, he's the most explosive. I mean, him or Peyton, I don't know how you feel. It could be, it's AG too when he needs to be. I don't know, but I just feel like Christian might be the most explosive, like, dunker they have, just like off of like speed and rhythm. Like, and then when he gets to the bucket as a finisher, but I mean, you can give it to AG or Peyton. That's just, you know, Michael has some sleepy ones in there too, but.
Oh, yeah.
I think he can replicate that.
Yeah. I think Christian is the stronger, like a little bit stronger player at this point than Peyton is. Aaron like will finish through all the contact. Like he those are the best posters. The ones where he is like going up above somebody else, he's cramming on their head, and he's doing it through traffic, which is just, that's an insane thing to do. Peyton, I think, gets bumped off his spot a little bit more, but hey, look, like he's going to have some posters. He's going to have some opportunities in the open floor to make a play. And I think between both of those guys, Denver's got some explosiveness. They've got some guys that can really hype up the crowd. I mean, the Minnesota game a couple games ago was, I think, the best example of that. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out.
It's funny. I think that's a part of the Nuggets, too. No one has that. That's that Golden State stuff that we used to see with the three ball. That's kind of what the Nuggets did. They just start rolling like in transition, and their athletes start going ham. You know, AG starting floating around the rim. You obviously have Jamal Murray with his shot making, and then, you know, Jokic is just like, he goes on those 10 point straight runs where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, what do we do? But then they start getting fast break, and I think that's where Peyton and Christian and Michael and AG and Jamal even, they start catching oops and start running. That's kind of where you start gathering the momentum in the home crowd. So we'll see, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be interesting. Any final takeaways from Nuggets versus Grizzlies?
No, man. Shout out to everybody staying healthy. That's all that mattered today.
Well, actually, there was one little mishap in there with Jamal.
He stayed in the game.
Rolling that left ankle. He did stay in. I want to make sure to mention that we should, like, we're going to see. We're going to see what happens with Jamal. I'm sure he's going to show up on the injury report, but, like, look, he's going to play. There's nothing's going to hold him out of a playoff game, but hopefully it doesn't get serious enough that it actually bothers him. We will see what happens. But tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to first, I'm going to ban this guy. We are going to chat about the playoff picture. We're going to chat about Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and everybody gets their takes off on what happened earlier today, because there was a lot of chaos that happened earlier today. Should be a lot of fun to talk about. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Especially with the playoffs coming around, you're going to want to jump in on this deal. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipa. All right, we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning to the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, folks, it can be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Hit the like button and subscribe button on the YouTube side. And if you're tuning in on Twitter, which we're simulcasting this one too, make sure to hit this with a like. Share it out to your friends. We would love to see the program grow as quickly as possible. All right, Swipa, there were some different things that happened today, lots of different results that happened today, but ultimately the result of these playoffs, or sort of these games, was this. This is the play-in tournament. Actually, I think I have the wrong one up here. Let me pull up the other one.
Yeah, look at Ryan, y'all.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I thought it was this one. No, yeah, see, I pulled up the wrong thing. All right, there we go. Oh, well, never mind. We're going to just leave this right here. Leave this right here. Okay. This is the playoffs. This is the playoffs right now.
Zoom in on that, sir?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Just press the mouse and...
Now people can see what's going on. The Nuggets are the 2 seed. They are going to play on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect this to happen. I did not expect this to happen, but we got some surprises today in the playoff picture that really kind of shifted some things around. The Cavs, they lost intentionally. They did not want any part of the Sixers, so they lost intentionally to get into a 4-5 matchup with the Orlando Magic. The Bucks somehow stay, or they stay at the 3 seed, despite the fact that they probably shouldn't have. The Knicks win and they move up to the two seed. What an epic season from Jalen Brunson and from the New York Knicks. Their reward for that will probably be the Philadelphia 76ers or the Miami Heat. Doesn't sound like much of a reward for me. That's going to be a very interesting one. But the real question for this was, what was going to happen with the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the Western Conference? All three of those teams were tied. And as it turns out, Denver does their job, they win. OKC does their job, they win. They were going to always win that game. Dallas sat out their entire rotation. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have an opportunity at home, but they have to beat those Phoenix Suns that you're seeing in the bottom left corner of your screen. They have to beat the Phoenix Suns, and Minnesota ultimately loses to the Suns. So Minnesota went from the 1 seed to the 3 seed, or even the 2 seed. Like, they would have been the 2 seed had they won. Denver would have been the 3 seed. But now, Minnesota's the 3, and Denver's the 2, and they will face the Lakers or the Pelicans after the play-in tournaments. Just first of all, your takeaways from today in terms from watching everything. We could talk about the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, for the West, I think that's the most important thing. The West has 5 teams that won 50 games this year and 2 other teams that won 49. So the Western Conference was just a bloodbath this year. They would have had 5 teams that would have finished as 2 or higher in the East. And then they would have had other teams that would have finished 3 or higher. So it's just really just, you know, speaks to the talent in the West. And I think everybody kind of, I think the Nuggets are a part of this. I think the fact that everybody is trying to win as many games as possible to get situated with their seeding as much as possible. Like, you know, I think the Timberwolves today, I was actually expecting the Suns to win because the Suns did not want to be in the play-in. There's such a crapshoot when you're in that situation. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how the ball is going to respond that day. I mean, you saw it. The Heat lost to the Heat lost to the Hawks last year in the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come on, bro. Like, that was random. And the Hawks were clearly not as good of a team as them. And so this year, you know, I think the Suns, man, they came out blitzing, got up 20 multiple times in this game, and they were not going to let Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, and Karl Anthony Towns do anything about this. And that's actually a matchup nightmare for Minnesota. They have been dreadful versus the Suns this year. Nurkic loves that matchup versus Rudy, and they have the shooters to be able to space them out. Bradley Beal's really good versus them. Kevin Durant, they're going to have the 2 best players in the series, right? That's tough. That, like, even if the team is better, you can say the Timberwolves were better. Not having the 2 best players in the series in the playoffs matters. That's a big deal. Kevin Durant's going to average 30 in that series. Just lock that in. And then Devin Booker, maybe 25, 5-5, maybe Bill, maybe 18, maybe 19, maybe 20. But then Anthony Edwards, he's going to have to come to play. And the way they play, they're showing a lot of hands. They're going to try to make it as messy as possible in the paint. Anthony Edwards this year is averaging about, Let me make sure. Anthony Edwards this season versus the Suns. Did you know, Ryan Blackburn, Anthony Edwards in 3 games this year versus the Suns, 31 minutes, 33 minutes, 35 minutes. He's averaging 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3.7 assists, and he's averaging 3.3 turnovers a game, 31% from the field, 27% from 3, 93% from the line. Did you know that?
I did actually know that just kind of seeing what the Suns fans were saying about that matchup. They're pretty excited. Right. They're pretty excited about that matchup. They think they've got something. I couldn't believe, like, you mentioned that you thought that the Suns would win. I thought it was possible that the Suns would win, but I didn't really think that the Timberwolves would turn over the ball 13 times in the first 12 minutes of the game. Like, I didn't think that would happen. I didn't think that they would be so bothered by the Suns defense where they just couldn't really do anything. I Bradley Beal, like, he was guarding Anthony Edwards for much of that time. Kevin Durant switching onto him, Grayson Allen switching onto him, Devin Booker switching onto him. Like, that's mostly a small group. And, like, other than Durant and Nurkic, obviously, but they have been really good defensively, the Suns have been. And so I wonder if Denver kind of caught a break here, not having to face, like, the winner of the Suns or the Lakers. Like, think the Suns would win that matchup, but it does seem to me like the Suns are kind of figuring some stuff out, despite the fact that they've had some weird up and downs over the course of the last 10 games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They're always a good team. They were never as bad as build. They just also aren't as good as build. They're in between both of those realities. Yeah. They got up to play the Nuggets in the games that they needed to. They also were terrible versus the Celtics, obliterated. They also were terrible in a recent game, like versus a couple folks that played. Like the Suns are just a good basketball team with high level top tier talent, but doing that consistently is going to be tough. And I think they can beat the Timberwolves for sure. You know, unfortunately for the Wolves, Ryan, I don't know how many times I've had to say this. They have one elite pull up shooter on the roster, and it's Mike Conley. That's a problem. If you can't kill drop coverage in the playoffs, it's going to be tough, man. And I think, you know, they're going to do a good job limiting, because Frank Vogel's a defensive genius, and, you know, Lakers fans obviously wanted him gone, and, you know, they lost a better coach. You know, Frank Vogel's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to limit offensive options for you, and that's what they do. So I was not surprised today. I was surprised at the score, especially in the first quarter. The continued cross to Western Conference, everything kind of fell like you thought it would. Shout out to the Lakers for being able to get up to the A seed from where they were. They were the 10 seed, bro. Yeah. Like, not that long ago, and for a while. And then the Kings, the only reason they're down there, because I think Malik Monk and Kevin Herter being out, like, that sucks for them, obviously. Just a really luck of the draw. Like, you know, they wouldn't be in that situation either. Or do you think the Kings can beat the Warriors in the opening playing game?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. I'm flipping the tab. Hopefully this flips over to the play-in tournament at some point. But yeah, the Warriors and the Kings back at it. A game where winner take all in that, right? The 9-10 matchup, the Kings will host once again, but they got to be seeing stars, man. Like, the Kings have got to be so upset about the way that this thing is broken down, because they, like, for the love of, like, they are absolutely not excited about seeing Steph Curry, especially without, like, it looks like they'll be without Malik Monk. They're obviously without Kevin Herter. Like, yeah, they're injured, man. They are hurt. And
still a good team, but, like, it's just a different team. They're way different right now.
Yeah, like, they are certainly way different, and it just doesn't feel the same sort of magic. Like, Malik Monk just changes so much for them. He plays so much for them off the bench. Like, it's not a surprise to me that they're in a pretty bad spot. So,
right,
going to be interesting to see what happens for sure. If you had to pick who comes out of the play in each of the games, what would you pick?
All right, put me on the spot. We're supposed to be doing this week. Why are we doing this as of right now?
Actually, you know what? You know, we don't necessarily have to do it. We could see.
Well, because I want to actually dive into the numbers. I'm not like you. I don't want to just start saying stuff. I'm just playing. No, listen.
I do just say stuff. That's true.
Well, the first game, that's why they call you Ryan Chartburn. The first game, though, I will say, I think the Warriors are going to beat the Kings. They have been very good lately. They just only struggled versus a handful of teams, but they've been very good. Obviously, they missed playing a fully healthy Lakers team. The Nuggets have obliterated them. I think that Lakers are going to beat the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans fall to 8-8, and I think they beat That's tough. I think the Pelicans are going to beat the Warriors. I'm that's tough. It's going to be really difficult, man. But Zion and B.I., and CJ and them, I think they're going to have to, bro. There's no way you're going to fall all the way. Have we seen a team fall all the way out of the playoffs?
I don't think so. We haven't seen
the Warriors did. The Warriors did in 2020. They did in 2020. They fell out of the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
they lost to the Lakers and then lost to Memphis because Ja gave them 38 points.
But we haven't seen a 10 seed make it yet. Like, go on the road multiple times and win multiple games. So that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough one for the Warriors. They've got an uphill battle, and, like, the Pelicans are still a very talented team. I think they've probably just got a really bad matchup with the Lakers.
I would love to see the Pelicans versus Thunder in the first round, bro.
Ooh, man. Can you imagine Zion versus Chet?
What I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying. Lord. Herb Jones versus SGA.
Ooh.
And Trey Murphy.
And they've got
CJ when he plays well. That's what I'm saying. Like, now, I think people are really sleeping on the Thunder. But, you know, I think everybody wants them to not be great. I think they're going to be really freaking good. But, yeah, man, at least that would be a fun matchup. And then the Thunder versus the Clippers. I want to see who's able to do it. I want to see if anybody actually able to do it or if it's just all talk, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, man. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I yeah, I'm very curious to see how it goes, but should be a lot of fun. Let me remove this and let's get back. Well, not that one. Let's go to this one. I'm curious how it's going to go, man. We're going to see what happens, but Denver ultimately becomes the 2 seed. They are going to have plenty of like a couple days to figure out like who they're going to play and then game plan for either the Lakers or the Pelicans. It's going
to
be
fun. What if the Lakers lose this game to the Pelicans and fall to the 8th? I do think they could beat OKC.
Yeah, no, those are for sure. Like they could,
especially a fully abled LeBron too. Like as of right now.
The other thing is Davis in the middle of the paint for them. Like that's a matchup that, like, one thing about the Nuggets versus the Thunder.
Yeah.
Is that it's not necessarily like an athletic matchup in the middle of the floor. Like Davis will be a nightmare for the Thunder to have to manage and deal with on a consistent basis. Like as long as he stays healthy and out there, like that's going to be tough.
Bro, I can't wait to playoffs. I cannot wait. We need to do a hype video, bro. I cannot wait. The Eastern Conference is going to be nasty too. That 7-8 game. Embiid, Butler, Bam.
We got to record some stuff tomorrow then because this thing's going pretty quick.
Wait, so give me your first initial. What do you think, Bam, Jimmy, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Spo Nurse? Who wins that matchup? And Jimmy, Joel Embiid, he's not any better than 70% fully healthy right now based on that injury he just had.
Yeah, he's not.
But he's still very freaking good.
Yeah, and so they've got home court in that matchup, I believe. That's a big one for me. Like the last time that those two teams matched up, it was like I don't think that Embiid played that well in the last matchup, but he still had like 30 points in 30 minutes. And now he's going to get the home court whistle. He's like Maxey's going to go off. Like they're going to have plenty of opportunities there. I think the Sixers get it done against the Heat, and then I think the Heat win against whoever they face in the next one, whether it's the Hawks or the Bulls.
Oh, you mean the Bulls? The Bulls or the Hawks? Yeah. All right, and then we're back at Celtics round one versus Heat. And then the Knicks versus the 76ers, bro. Mitchell Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein, OG Anunoby, Dante DiVincenzo, and Jalen Brunson. That would be a dog fight.
Yeah. Now that's – they got the bodies. The Knicks have the bodies to match up with the Sixers and really – give those
bro, I think they're – I don't kid. Hold on. Before we go with the segment, we talk about the Denver Nuggets season as a whole. Hold on real quick.
Swipe has got to make a point here.
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure I say it, and then I have the information to back it up. I have a hunch. This is great for audio, by the way. I'm currently looking up the Knicks record this year with OG Anunoby. Do you know what the record is when he's played this year?
I'm sure it's like 30-6.
It's 20-3.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, 20-3, on the right track.
Yeah. He's averaging 14-4, shooting 49, 39, 79. But his 23 games, he's a plus 353. A 23 games, a plus 353. Just to be clear, Nikola Jokic, this whole season, was the best player in the league. He's going to be MVP, led the NBA in plus minus. He was a plus 684 on the year. OG Anunoby in 23 games was a plus 353.
He's a great fit with them, man.
They're going to be dominant. Dominant.
Do you think that they can do stuff without Randle? Do you think that they can make a run?
I think they can get to the second round. Beating the Celtics, though, that's going to be a lot. I think beating the Celtics would be a lot. I don't think they can beat the Celtics. That's who they're going to face in the second round. Or no, not second round. They'll face the Bucks or Pacers.
Did Randle get the surgery?
Yeah, he's out for the season.
Okay, out for the season. Like, okay, so that's not.
Yeah. Bucks. I mean, they could beat the Bucks. I think they could beat the Bucks. I would not like that. The ratings in Eastern Conference playoff would be trash. The Knicks would fans would watch, but the Knicks versus Boston with that's good basketball, but I think for the ESPN they would love to see the Knicks in it. But real talk, like Brunson versus Tatum, that's just not Giannis or Embiid versus Tatum. Which doesn't matter, by the way, but that's just in ESPN stuff. I would say they can. I would be surprised just because Giannis, but Giannis ain't healthy right now. So who knows, bro? Who knows what can happen in the East?
Going to be fun. Going to be fun to watch. It's just as fun to watch as the West. It's probably a little bit less, like variation than there is on like what the West could actually do. And like the levels are a little bit lesser, but like I saw some odds come through over the course of like the last couple hours that the Celtics have the best odds to win the NBA title. And then the next six teams are in the West. Like that's just,
and somehow the Clippers are ahead of the Mavs still. I think the Clippers are plus 1,000.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting.
Who do you think wins the Mavs Clippers series? Kawhi's healthy, which he should be. He's been resting.
The Mavs fans have been going at me. They've been going at the throat for a little bit here over the last few days. Do I want to pick against Luka? Not really. But I think the Clippers they've got a lot. They've got a lot for this matchup, man.
Yeah.
Now, do they have a great defensive matchup? No.
I think that if Kawhi's healthy, I'm taking Clippers in seven. Mm. But if he's not, Mavs in six for sure. If he can't, it could be five too. If he's not playing, that's one thing. It's five. But if he's not fully healthy, then it's six. But if he's healthy, seven.
If Kawhi isn't healthy for the third playoff run in a row, or is this the fourth?
This will be so. 2020, so he was fine. 21, tore his ACL. 22, didn't play. 23, wasn't healthy. And then this year, so third.
Fourth.
Well, I guess you can count
if he doesn't play. Yeah. And it would be four in a row. That's
right.
If that's four in a row, it's going to affect his legacy for sure. We don't have to have those conversations right now, but as much of a playoff killer as he's been, if you can't be available for four straight playoff runs, that's going to be a problem.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
All right, let's other side talk about the next season, man. Because we talk all these other teams.
We'll have plenty of other conversations about the playoffs. We don't want to spoil all the content for sure. There's plenty of stuff to get to. Let's take a quick break.
Before you go. The Boston Celtics, man. By the way, 64 wins this year, plus 11.34 net rating, fifth in NBA history, 15-point scoring margin at home, third best. 1.22 points per possession, best offense in NBA history, 37 home wins this year. They beat everybody but Denver this year, 37-4 at home, which is obviously just nuts. NBA record, 17 25-point wins, NBA record, 10 30-point wins, 19 20-point wins, 10 wire-to-wire wins. They held the opponents to the fewest amount of free throws in NBA history. They didn't foul at all. This is from Sean Grande. Boston Celtics, what do you think? Do you think this is would this be what the history says they should do? They should win the title in six games, probably.
Yeah, they should go 16-4. That's what they should.
Has the team gone 16-4 in the recent years without having two All Stars? The Warriors
did not have two All Stars.
Yeah, I guess they do. They had two All NBA players, just to be clear. They had four All Stars, depending on how you look at Boston media votes.
Yeah, man. Look, here's the thing.
Whew.
If the Celtics don't win the title, it is the biggest statistical upset in NBA history.
Ever. Yeah.
Because they have the goods on the regular season. Right. They have the rotation. They have the depth. They have the star power. They've got the versatility. They've got everything that you would want for a playoff run and for a championship run. The only thing that anybody has ever been concerned about is their execution in tight games. That's the only thing. The problem is that the playoffs are a lot of tight games.
Versus really good players.
If they can win every game by 15, they'll win the title. But if there are four games in a series, five games in a series, six games in a series that all are in clutch time, last 5 minutes of the game, 5 points or less, then I don't think that they come out of that because I don't think that they execute as well as they need to. And they might prove me wrong. but I could see the Knicks. I don't think I could see the Heat. I think I could see the Sixers. I don't really see the Bucks doing it. I could definitely see the Nuggets doing it. I could definitely see the T-Wolves doing it. I could definitely see the Thunder doing it, where they out-execute the Celtics in the clutch.
Bro, the I think that's scary thing about the Thunder. They have three shot creators, three of them. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot to have.
They're pretty good, and they can open up the floor with going five out. So, like, if the Thunder are, like, here's the thing. If the collective age of the Thunder was 2 years older, everybody would be picking them.
I mean, more people would be picking them.
I don't think everybody would be picking them. Hyperbole, for sure.
I think one of them has Joker on the team. I think that's the difference.
That's fair.
Well, I genuinely think, like, that is the equation, Thor. As much as people don't want Joker in these Bird Magic talks, well, that's what happens. Like, you know, everybody's picking the Nuggets is because there's one of those dudes, you know, 3 and 4. So, anyway, let's get it, bro. We're talking about the Nuggets on the other side. Goodness gracious, Ryan Blackburn.
The other side here at, I was about to say Locked On Nuggets.
Locked On Nuggets.
That's what you usually say. Here's Kim Becker. All right, final segment, pick, axe, and roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, everybody. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you're here. Shout out the podcast, shout out the program. We do great work. We will have plenty of content over the course of this upcoming week about general NBA topics, about the playoffs, about maybe not awards. We've already done awards, but like we'll talk about the play-in tournament. We'll talk about all the series, and then we'll focus in on every little thing that you could talk about from a Nuggets perspective. Going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have plenty of time to go over this stuff. Now, final segment here. We won't spend too much time on this because we've both got places to be, but...
You ain't got nowhere to go. You at the crib. What you mean? You ain't got nowhere to go. You got to go to dinner? You ain't got to work the rest of the night? You already finished your article.
That was me saying, hey, we've got other content that we got to get to. True. I've got... playoff mode's engaged. Playoff mode will be engaged for Denver. But the regular season mode is now over. Regular season, Denver wins 56 games, or they win 57 games. I thought they would win 56 and get the one seed. They ended up winning 57 and getting the two seed. I didn't expect the Thunder to be this good. I don't think anybody really expected them to be this good.
57 wins? No.
Oh, my God. Like, and here's the funny thing. Denver gets the one seed if they don't rest Joker in one of the Thunder games.
Yeah.
And they win that game. Like, because they probably would have.
Or if they don't choke an 8-point lead with 3 minutes and 15 seconds left in Denver when Shea hit that game winner, and they don't play around with the lineup closing with like Justin Holiday and Christian Brown or Peyton Watson, you know.
Or if they keep their 23-point lead against the Spurs, like
we
could point to several things. And it's funny, like you can point to all these different things throughout the regular season for Denver, all these different moments. For the most part, Denver has taken care of business. It's why they've been better this year than they were last year. They won more games. They've been more stable. The starting lineup has been healthier, even without like Jamal being as healthy as you probably would like him to be. Like he still played almost as many games as he played last year. And Michael Porter Jr.'s played even more. He's played 81 games. And Jokic has played more games. I think KCP's played about the same. Aaron Gordon's played more. Like the team has been pretty well locked in and pretty healthy over the course of the entire season. I just want to get your takeaways here. What are you thinking about when I say those things, when I talk about the 82-game regular season?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Michael Malone's not going to get any love in Coach of the Year because he has Joker. It's the LeBron James thing.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. That's the only reason he has Michael Jordan and LeBron on his roster. And people are like, well, Jokic isn't LeBron. Well, then how else do you explain it? There is no other explaining it. Jamal Murray, you don't think he's better than Jalen Brunson. I'm not saying y'all don't think he's better than Jalen. You don't think he's better than Kyrie. Okay. You don't think Michael Porter is better than like J Dub or other players and like that. You don't think Aaron Gordon is, I don't know, you know, he's a tertiary role player that's grown. He wasn't great in Orlando. So like explain it to me. They don't have Bruce Brown. They don't have Jeff Green. They're playing youngins off the bench. He just coached a team to 57 wins in the Western Conference without 23 games from Jamal Murray. So for me, it's like, that's an obscene coaching job, and he absolutely deserves credit for that. And then on the other end of this, Nikola Jokic, Ryan, do you know how many games he played last season?
I think he played 69.
Nice. He played 69 games last year. This season, and including 20 playoff games. So he played 89 games last year. This season, Nikola Jokic comes off of a title where he goes on a run that's literally unprecedented in NBA history, an unprecedented run. In this season, he played 79 games. Nikola Jokic hasn't played that many games since his first year as an All-Star in 2018-19. Now, he could have. He could have in other years. He just didn't.
Also, we had the shortened regular seasons in a couple of the years where he was pretty much healthy throughout.
Yeah, he was 72 games that year, 100% in the game. Could have played 82 that year if he needed to.
Yeah.
Joker did a absolute gauntlet of a season. Absolute gauntlet of a season where he's able to put up those kind of numbers. 26.4. Let me read them directly for people for the third time MVP that people are saying he didn't do anything special this year, Ryan Blackburn. 79 games played. 26.4 points per game, 12.4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1.4 steals. I think a career high in blocks is 0.9.
Believe
62.7% from 2. Now, that's 5% worse than last year, by the way, which gives context how insane last year was. 62.7% from 2. He was one of the best mid-range shooters in the league this year. 36% from 3, 82% from the line, 65 true shooting. And he would lead the NBA with a plus 684 plus minus this year. Ryan Blackburn, do you know that Nikola Jokic is the first player to ever put up those stat lines before? A 26-12-9 season, 50% from the field. It's never happened. Never.
Never.
So
he's
a lot of people have this thing with Joker where, you know, they just don't feel that they feel he gets too much due for what he does. This is the second most rebound he's ever averaged in a season, the second most assists he's ever averaged in a season. And then points per game, this is the second most points per game he's ever averaged in a season. He's top five in points, rebounds, and assists. And he had a 65 true shooting on the year and led the NBA in plus minus. This is going to be the fourth year where, if you look at the award tracker, that he should have won the MVP fourth year in a row. Ryan, we haven't seen this since LeBron freaking James. 9, 10, didn't get in 11 because Derrick Rose won games, 22 points a game. And then you had 12 and 13. We haven't had a run like this since LeBron. Before that, it wasn't since Jordan. Before that, it wasn't since Magic and Bird. So everybody keep, why do they keep giving him MVPs? Look at the numbers. Look at the impact. Ryan, what's his on-court net rating so far this year now? What is it? 11 point, what is it?
I think it's 11.8. 11.8? No. Fourth in the NBA.
I think among players that have played over 30 minutes a game, I want to say it's second to Derek White.
Yeah, that's correct.
But Derek White is a role player. Like, you know, respect to Derek White. Some people think he should have been All-Star this year. I completely disagree with that. So, yeah, Sam Hauser to plus 13.8. Peyton Pritchard to 13.6. Derek White plus 12.5. Those were all role players. Nikola Jokic led all MVPs this year with how good the team was on the court. And everybody was questioning him the entire season. So, Ryan, this is what I'm saying. Jamal Murray missed 23 games this year. And it didn't matter. They won 57 games. They were 44-14 with him and Jamal on the court this year, Ryan Blackburn. That's a 62-win pace. So for me, go ahead.
Leaders in steals on the season.
Oh, my gosh.
De'Aaron Fox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Alex Caruso, Matisse Thybulle, Paul George, DeJounte Murray, Kawhi Leonard, Nikola Jokic.
What does he rank on that list?
Eighth. He is eighth in total steals. So he's top 10.
Let's just be clear about this. He's top 10
in every category.
So he's 10. He's top 10 in everything but blocks this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's look at the block charts. Everybody avert your eyes. Jokic is tied for 32nd in blocks. Not necessarily.
One thing he doesn't do well.
Yeah, it's the one thing. But like, oh, by the way,
Bam even top 30 in blocks?
No, because Bam has fewer blocks than Joker does.
He's an incredible rim defender. So
68 blocks for Joker, 66 blocks for Bam Adebayo.
So man, this is what I'm saying, bro. Do you understand what I'm saying, bro? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
of course.
The dude is incredible, Ryan. And then also, I just want to say this: Jamal Murray, also career year from Jamal Murray. He doesn't get the love and respect that he deserves.
I really wish that he would have stayed healthy, man, because if he had stayed healthy, I think he would have been an all-star. I think Denver's record would have been even better. And like, cause I mean, you've seen Denver's record when he plays. Like, it's dynamic. It's great. Like, yeah, I know you've got it. Like, when he plays, Denver's unbelievable. They're just the best that they could possibly be.
Right.
And to me, that's the story of the season for Denver. Between Joker's MVP season, Jamal, when he's healthy, has leveled up at least to a degree where like the consistency has been there mostly from night to night when he's been there. Denver's playoff mode kind of bled into the regular season a little bit in a couple of ways. Their defense was better.
Right.
Jokic and Murray were very consistent when they were out there. And Porter was available. And Aaron Gordon and KCP, they should have all defensive cases. Like, the Nuggets have done a great job during the regular season for the most part. It's unfortunate that the game on Friday happened, because I think it kind of changed everybody's perspective on what Denver's regular season was. But they tied their franchise record for wins in a season, and it was all about the starters for the most part, and then the bench filling in the gaps where they could. Obviously, not as capable as you would want them to be, but the bench did fill in some gaps with growth from Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and then Reggie Jackson. One of the things I did want to point out, Reggie's numbers as a starter versus as a bench player are insane. Yep.
Yep.
His splits and his efficiency numbers are insanely different. Yep. If I go to it right now, this doesn't include today where he shot 3 of 9 from the field. As a starter on the season, Reggie Jackson's true shooting percentage is 59. As a reserve, it's 47. Like 39, 31, 81 splits as a reserve versus 49, 44, 78 splits. He's going to have to find opportunities, obviously, in the playoffs to be a little bit better, to get that efficiency back up. But it's there. It's capable. And like when he's playing with starters and he's playing with them a little bit more consistently, I think there is a path there. I don't know whether it's going to happen, but I do think that there's a path for that. But look, Denver's entire regular season was a success as a whole. It's unfortunate that they couldn't finish with the one seed, but it was successful.
Yeah. Jamal Murray is incredible. Shot 42% from the field, like from three rather. Averaged 6.5 assists a game, 21 points a game, played 59 games, 48, 42.5, 85 splits. Those are all-star numbers.
Yeah.
No one else, everybody else that made had them, they all went to the all-star game. So, and this is the worst you're gonna get. And Jamal's been insane since. Michael Porter played 81 games this year. Both Aaron Gordon and KCP are gonna get all defense votes this year. This is literally the most successful season in Denver Nuggets history, and they didn't have their second-best player for more than a quarter of it, 30% of the season. So, incredible.
The good thing now is that we don't have to worry about awards. Joker's going to get that MVP. We don't have to worry about standings. They're locked into the 2 seed. All you got to do is figure out who you're going to play in the first round, figure out who everybody else is going to play, and then go. And then put your head down and work. What gives you the confidence in Denver's playoff mode this year? And this is kind of how we'll finish things out.
Oh, I'm a 10. I'm a 10. They have already shown that, like, when they need to put the gear on, they can turn it up, as AG said. You can't turn it on, but you can turn it up. When every time they had to play, there's no more Jokic. What's he doing? Jokic is trolling. There's no more, you know, sitting players for nicks and bruises. Like, all that's gone. They're locked in. They know exactly who they are, better than anybody in the league. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, better than anybody in the league. And they know exactly what to do in the clutch. They know exactly how to get up and keep a lead. There's no blowing leads. That's not the Nuggets. They might let you get from like 20 to like 12 or whatever, and down the stretch, you know, you get the 8. But they're gonna walk you down.
Yeah.
When they're down big in the playoffs, 15, 18, they walk you down. They just know who they are, man. And like, I just think everybody there right now, they're the cream of the crop of the NBA, and everybody treats them as such, and they talk about them as such, and they walk around them as such. And you have the bona fide best player in the world, because the way you know that is that everybody in the league says, Jokic is just going to do what he does, and you just got to deal with it. And I think Malone is looked at as a top two coach in the league. His adjustments are on point. His rotations are going to be on point. You got a bunch of veterans on the roster. They're bringing back the entire starting five. Everybody that's playing this year for the Nuggets, except for Justin Holiday, won a championship with the team last year. Everyone. That you can't say that. That, yeah. You know how rare that is?
It's rare. It's rare to have that continuity. It's rare to have that chemistry. Denver's going to have other guys step up. There's no doubt about it. But this was the question that we had heading into last year's playoffs, right? Like, how many guys did you realistically have confidence in heading into last year's playoffs? Like, real confidence.
Yeah.
It was 6 guys. It was Bruce Brown and the starters. And then Christian Brown won some games for them. And then Jeff Green hit a couple clutch threes and defended Karl-Anthony Towns really well. And then Denver found some minutes here or there for DeAndre Jordan. Reggie Jackson came in for a brief stretch, and obviously that wasn't very prevalent. But for the most part, Denver got their guys. They figured out their rotations, and they were fine. I think that Denver's got their guys.
Right.
I think that they are going to go through some growing pains. I think Peyton Watson will go through some growing pains. I think Christian Brown will go through some growing pains. But I do believe in their ability to get through this. I believe in their ability to lock in and just simplify the game a little bit, because it's not that complicated. The playoffs are not that complicated. Right. Opposing teams are going to pick at your weaknesses, and they are going to do everything they can to strip you down to what you are like absolutely worst at.
Right.
And if you are a role player, you got to defend, you got to rebound, you got to run, and you got to space. And for Denver, I think they are pretty set in terms of what they need from those guys, because you know what you're going to get from the top two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to get from Jokic and Murray. They're still the most dangerous duo in the league. And anybody that says anybody else, they have not been in a series with Denver, or they are being willfully ignorant. That's just where we're at. So I'm excited for it, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. Can you predict for me right now? Will the Nuggets win another championship?
Yes, I said that June of last year, or July, August. You got the best player in the world. Team's healthy. That's what happens. You know, in NBA history, typically, you got all that on your side. You win. And I think Jamal Murray is going to have another 25-5-5 run, and people are going to be like, oh, this is fake shooting again. All right, cool. Well, this is what he does. He's done this. 3 playoff runs, this is what he's done. So we got a 4th one coming up. Jamal's playing better than he has the entire season. So 1,000%.
Back-to-back. That's where I'm at, too. Everybody can be worried about the trolling that they'll do against the Spurs. Everybody can worry about, oh, man, is this team going to finally put Jokic in the pick and roll? Are they going to put him in the pickle roll and spam that? No. No, that's not what's going to happen, because Denver knows who they are. They know what they've got to do. And it feels very, very similar to last year. There are some differences. There are some personnel differences. But in the end, Denver's got the best player in the world. And that means a lot in these conversations. Everybody else's job is very simple in that regard. Jamal's the only other guy that really has a massive role that he's got to fill. And I just believe in Jamal Murray. I believe in him doing it. As long as he's healthy, I believe in him getting it done.
And you know who believes in it more now than ever? Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
I literally just did it.
He's like, I was here. I was here last year. Like, come on, man.
21-10 in the finals. That's come me. On, man. Me, Magic, Michael, and LeBron. That's me.
He knows, man. Believe me. He knows. Everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Weekends with Swipa. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've gone for about an hour. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Swiper, you got anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nope. Lock in. Y'all know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be Swiper, Mile High Sports, Locked On Nuggets, Player's Choice. You can Bleacher Report. You can find me on 5 different platforms. I don't know what time it is. I'm locked in. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I said, do you want anything to plug? And he's like, no, but then lists all the plugs. Oh my gosh. Everybody, thank you so much. What a great regular season for Denver. We're going to end this thing on a high note. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit that like button on the way out. We've got plenty of content coming your way here on the Mile High Sports YouTube channel, so make sure to like and subscribe. Set those notifications up. You know what time it is. It's time for the Nuggets playoffs. Thank you so much, everybody. We will talk to you guys very soon.